Our scripture lesson comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life, and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord your God of your ancestors has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Moses and the Israelites, they had traveled for 40 years in the wilderness. The people stood with only the Jordan River between themselves and the Promised Land. It was flowing with milk and honey, and they had waited for years. A generation before, the people had been asked to respond to God's salvation from the Egyptians with the most simple response, loving obedience. And Moses stops this new generation just shy of the Promised Land to help them remember something, the most important thing about God and themselves. Together, they recall God's great love for the Israelites, freeing them from Egypt, supplying their every need. Moses reiterates the Ten Commandments and once again describes the relationship God desires for his covenant people, one where those loved by God respond with love. And so the first commandment is emphasized, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And after describing each commandment, Moses returns to the first commandment known as the Shema, which means hear and obey. You know, it should be simple, but Deuteronomy is filled with dramatic irony. We see Moses urging the new generation not to make the same mistake as their ancestors, but instead to simply follow the command to love God. Moses says, hear, O Lord, the Lord alone is God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Now, later, Jesus claims this as the greatest command on which all the law and the prophets hang. And we know the importance of loving God. If we are to do anything else as the church, to love our neighbor, it begins with loving God. And so, after reiterating all the Ten Commandments, Moses returns to love. He urges the people to impress this love command on their children. He senses that Israel is wavering. The Israelites, they seemed unsure of what they stood for. Unknown threats and dangers awaited, and Moses would no longer be with them once they entered the Promised Land. He urges them, while they still have time together, to remind the next generation. Talk about it at home, on the road, when you lie down, when you rise up, tie them to your hands and your foreheads, write them on the door frames and the gates of your home. Moses is telling the people to do everything possible, every day, all day, to pass on this love of God. He's like a father, this is Father's Day, or a mother, or a Sunday school teacher, or a youth or children's director, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, who knows that their time of greatest influence, the time when they have their child's attention at its fullest, is running short. But one verse before listing all of these daily reminders, he says what is essential or all else fails. These words, he says, are to be upon your heart. Moses explains that loving God has to be in you before you can impart it to someone else, before we can leave the children of our homes or of our church family as our legacy. We must have love upon our own hearts. Speaking with children, with grandchildren, with colleagues, teaching and preaching to the next people who become the church is something that we must do, all of us, not just pastors, but all of us as followers of Christ. But we can only teach a love that we are willing to practice. Our children and adults who are on the periphery of the church that are seeking Jesus, they can sense our authenticity. I am the only member of our family who likes asparagus. Now, I blame Neil for this, and he does too. Noah used to eat asparagus when he was really small. He would dip it in ketchup, like a French fry, until he noticed that his daddy didn't eat any. Now, Hannah Kate never stood a chance with a brother who loudly vocalized his opinion of this bitter vegetable. But there's also no hope for our children to like beets, because we won't even bring those into the house. None of us will eat them. We cannot teach our children to love to eat vegetables that we eat with pinched noses or wrinkled foreheads or not even at all. And we cannot teach them to love where we do not practice love. This is why Jonah had such a difficult life as a prophet. Even to the end of the book of Jonah, we still encounter a man who does not have the compassion and forgiving and loving heart of God. He expects more from God than he's willing to give. It is not upon his heart. What we want the children and the next generation of the church to become, we must strive to become ourselves. If we want those who visit and become a part of the church, or the children who are being raised in the church, to make church a priority, then we must go. If we want them to respect their leaders, then we have to watch our attitudes. If we want them to be able to admit their mistakes, then we need to be able to tell them that we are sorry. If we want them to work hard, then we have to be involved as a volunteer. If we want them to be generous, we have to give freely. If we want them to pursue God, then we ourselves have to get alone with God. If we want them to be honest, we have to let them see us treating others with integrity. It isn't just children who take note more of what we do than of simply what we say, but the people who are not yet a part of the body of Christ, those who are considering being a part of the church. They look to us to know what it means to be the church. Moses said it has to be in you before it can be in them. Love must be upon your heart. It will change our lives and the lives of the people around us searching for Jesus if we really believe that the greatest thing that could happen to our church, our children, our community must first happen in our own hearts. Take a moment to envision the dreams that you have for our church. Is it for us to be loving, welcoming, a community of prayer, a caring place known throughout Cleburne County for a living faith that changes lives? I think that is who you are as a church family. I want you to picture all that you hope that will be and become for our church family, that dream that God has given you for our church, all the more that it can be. Now, Moses is saying the church will be, of course the church was not happening then, but the church will be what is in your heart. Christ transforms the world, causes the kingdom to break into the world by changing our hearts. It's the same as the physical. I want my children and the children of our church and the adults in our church and any new believers who become a part of our church to be able to pray out loud and to pray over one another. So I pray out loud, even though it may not be eloquent and others do it much more beautifully than I do. So how do we do as Moses urges the Israelites? How do we pass on a personal, loving faith when our own is not perfect, is not always eloquent, is not fully realized in a vision of what we hope for the future of the church. Writer Charles Swindoll, he once found himself with too many commitments in too few days, and he got nervous, he got tense about it, and he was snapping at his wife and his children, he was choking down his food at mealtimes, he was feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions throughout the day, and he recalled in his book, Stress Fractures, he says, "Before long, things around home started reflecting the patter of my hurry-up style. It was becoming unbearable." He says, I distinctly remember after supper one evening, the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. She began hurriedly, "Daddy, I want to tell you something and I'll tell you really fast." And suddenly, he said, he realized her frustration and he answered, "Honey, you can tell me and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly." And he said, "I'll never forget her answer. Then listen slowly. What do you desire for our church, for our children, for those seeking the faith? If it is to speak slowly, then we must listen slowly. If it is for them to be loving, then we must first love. What we desire and are commanded is that love must be upon our hearts. Just as it was for Jesus who knelt to wash the feet of his very own disciples, only after he had washed their feet did he say, 'Now that I have served you, you also should serve one another.' But like you and me, Moses, and men and women and moms and dads, none of us is perfect. Moses would never enter the promised land. We pray that our love grows more perfect through the Holy Spirit every day, but we aren't yet fully there. And when it isn't just right, we live our faith in process. We live it out in the midst of God making us more like Him, more perfect, more holy, more sanctified. Everything doesn't have to be right in us before we can be an influence on the faith of the future church. We don't have the luxury to wait until we are made perfect in this life. We must begin now. So, how should we do that? It's tempting to cover up our weaknesses. It would have been easy for Moses to have tried to hide his flaws from the next generation, but over and over again, the scripture proves in the lives of real and flawed people that it is in our weaknesses that God reveals His strength. It was Moses' stuttering that proved God was speaking to Pharaoh through Moses. It was Zacchaeus' greed that proved Jesus had changed his life to one of generosity. It was Peter's denial of Christ that proved the risen Lord changed him into the rock on which he would build his church. Paul said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." That's what God spoke to Paul. He says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." Moses wasn't saying we must be perfect to be an example of the faith. He said these truths need to be upon your heart. Let your children and those beginning in the faith here in our community see us pursuing a relationship with God. Let them see you crying out for God's help. They need to see you struggle with answers, face weaknesses, deal with real problems, admit when we are wrong, fight for our marriages, resolve personal conflict. They need to see the desire to grow in love of God upon our hearts. They need to see a real relationship. Elsie Brunk came across her son, who was 4, trying to give his sister, who was 2, a drink of water from his cup, and Pan's clothes were soaked, and Elsie scolded her son for his carelessness, and later she realized that the boy had just been trying to share his water with his sister. But because she spoke on impulse, his generosity earned him criticism. "I'm so sorry, Harry," she told him. "I shouldn't have scolded you when you were being so nice to share." He had a look of relief that washed over his face. his mother had done the right thing. No matter how we love our children, how we strive to love God in our relationship with him and with each other, we will make mistakes. And apologizing encourages our children and new Christians to do the same, to continue striving for a heart passionately in love with God, seeking him. Moses said to place the word, the commands, before the people each day when they rise up, when they lie down, at home, on the road, on the doorpost. But first, he said, it must be upon your heart. Is love of God upon your heart? Are you making your relationship, your seeking after God, your priority so that you are filled with loving God? Can others, young and old, our children, learn the importance of loving God, not just from your words, but from your heart, being filled to overflowing so that the words of your mouth and the deeds of your heart, the deeds of your hands, might be an outpouring of the love of God written upon your heart. Brothers, sisters, mothers, and fathers on this Father's Day, what is written upon your heart?